This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are on the free Odyssey app. Good Thursday morning. The New York Mets advance to the NLCS, the first time since 2015, as they beat the Philadelphia Phillies last night 4-1. It was nerve-wracking. It was nail-biting time. It was crazy, even to the very end, as Edwin Diaz comes in and starts walking the ballpark. But another one of these moments, and another one of these moments from Francisco Lindor, who has put together a spectacular season for the ages in a Mets uniform. And the Mets have had some great moments throughout their history, but not a ton. So when the team goes on a run like this and a player goes on a run like this, it will be remembered forever. And this keeps getting better every single game, as they are now one series away from the World Series. They celebrate at Citi Field, and I mean, apologies all around. I don't know how many times I got to say it. I'm sorry to the Mets. I'm sorry to Steve Cohen. I'm sorry to Francisco Lindor. I'm sorry to Brandon Nimmo. I'm sorry to the Mets that were in John Ledecky's box in the Islanders, at the Islanders playoff game, when they were like three or four games under 500. I didn't even go up and talk to him because I was disgusted with him. I'm sorry to those guys. I think Sean Manaea was one of them. Nimmo was there. I'm sorry to everybody, because the joy you are providing us right now is unmatched. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. I am jacked up. I am happy. I'm happy for a lot of reasons. I'll start with the Mets. I got to say that a couple guys really stood out. Now, Jose Quintana did a great job yesterday, got him through five, and then David Peterson again shows up big. I mean, he had an awesome year as a starting pitcher for the New York Mets. And now has become a big part of the bullpen, especially in high leverage situations. He was great. There was a couple moments last night in this game that I don't necessarily know that a lot of people are talking about, but it just kind of signified what the game was. Francisco Alvarez made two unbelievable picks as a catcher with 50-foot pitches. And both of those, you know, he caught and nobody was able to move up the base path and nothing like that. The next inning, Real Muto was unable to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Hoffman threw two wild pitches.
Yeah, he was all over the place.
I mean, so Jeff Hoffman right now is persona non grata in Philadelphia because of his performance in this particular series. But what can you say about Francisco Lindor? You know, and when he hit the ball last night, and, you know, you got Brzezinski and you got Wainwright in there, and they talk about how, you know, there was no bad flip, there was no nothing. It was almost like he expected to do it, and it was an amazing moment, and an absolute amazing moment. And you could feel like the tension, and I really thought that FS1 did a great job capturing the tension on the fans' faces in the stadium as this moment is about to unfold. And then as Francisco launches this ball into right field, it was just an amazing, amazing feeling. I mean, we all had it together. For those people that are at the stadium, and probably the stadium probably was rocking. And it's one of those moments that you're going to remember for a long, long, long time, just like the Pete Alonso home run, just like the Francisco Lindor home run in Atlanta. I mean, this team just keeps giving you unbelievable moments to remember. And whether it be Daniel Murphy, who did this back in 2015, or what Francisco Lindor is doing right now, it's just remarkable. It is absolutely remarkable. And we haven't had a chance to really have something like this. How many times have we said, why can't it be our team? Why can't our team just surprise the hell out of everybody and do something spectacular? And between Lindor, between the timely hitting, except for early in this game, because you felt like, you know, there were so many opportunities that they missed. And then on top of that, the bullpen doing what it has done, it's been a remarkable run, and you don't want it to end. And you don't know who we're going to play yet, simply because the Dodgers, with that bullpen game we were talking about yesterday, ended up demolishing the Padres last night.
Yeah, they did. So that game five will be on Friday. And Steve Cohen said something in the clubhouse when he was celebrating where he said, I want to change the negative perception of the Mets fan, and this team is helping to do that. And I couldn't agree more, because during this game, you know, they load the bases, first and second inning, they don't score. But they load the bases again, and Francisco Alvarez, you know, strikes out, or actually, no, he had that weak ground ball to short, and they cut
force
him
out
off.
At home,
force out at home. So, Francisco Lindor comes up, and I'm just expecting something special to happen. Never. I mean, as recent as last week, I'm thinking Pete Alonso is grounding into a double play, and the season is over, and he hits that home run. And then now, after what I've seen since then, I'm like, he's going to do something. I mean, he's at least going to tie the game. I can guarantee you that. He's at least going to tie the game with a sac fly. Maybe he gets two runs in with a base hit. Maybe he hits a gapper. It'd be great if he hit a grand slam. But he's going to do something, because that's who they are. And he hits that grand slam, and it was just perfect. And the fact that he's rounding the bases, and he did the same thing with that home run down in Atlanta, and he's rounding the bases like he expected to do it. I mean, it's just, I can't get over it. I cannot. Every game gets crazier. And on top of it, it's the Philadelphia Phillies, who I have spent a majority of my lifetime just hating, being turned off by. Their fans, they suck, their team, everything. The fact that 2007, it was them that came back. Cole Hamels with the choke job. He actually said that on Joe and Evan when I was producing it, with a Mets choke. Then I was just, I was so angry that I've had the anger towards that organization, and to face them for the first time ever in the playoffs and just swat them away. And I told you on Monday from your golf tournament, I said, I don't think they're going back to Philadelphia. And here we are. There's one team going back to Philadelphia, and it's the Phillies to clean out their locker.
Good.
You, Spike. You, Spike.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what you get for trolling us. That's what you get for touching the money. That's what you get for, you know, questioning who we are as Met fans and what we're all about. I mean, I mean, there's so many different things that happen in this game as in every game that just stand out. And I don't know. There were a couple times where you just want Martinez and Marte just hit a sac fly, please.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't happening early on in the game. But I feel you, man. I feel like there's something special that has been happening over the last two and a half. Actually, it's been happening. Probably, and as they put up last night, you know, a couple of the statistics since June 30th, I would have to say it's been happening through August, September, and now October. So the thing is continuing. You know, like the magical moments are continuing. And when magical, and you know, and everybody, knock on wood, everybody's healthy. You know, everybody, with the exception of Jeff McNeil, everybody's there. Everybody's participating. Everybody's had some skin in the game, whether it be Jesse Winker the other night. You know, it's, of course, Francisco Lindor's in the middle of everything. But I think just watching this and feeling it, it does feel, for me, and I can't remember everything that was going on, like the unexpected 1969 Amazing Mets. Like, nobody expected that.
Yeah, you know, and I was thinking about that exact point, not so much 69 because I was not around at all, but these Mets teams that they have assembled over the years that were supposed to be great, there have been so many busts, you know, whether it was the worst team that money could buy with Bobby Bonilla and Jeff Torborg as the manager, or it was, you know, after that, like early 2000s, when they went out and got Kevin Apier and Mo Vaughn, and they tried to buy a team at free agency there, or even as recently as the Steve Cohen era where he decides, you know, we're going to go and get the top pitchers. We're going to pay them $40 million a year, and that's how we're going to win, even though these guys are 40 years old. And those teams flop. Those are the teams that flop. But this team, where David Stearns comes in, and I he's still, and I will stand by one thing, because I've been dead wrong 99% of the time with the Mets this entire season. But this offseason was a reset offseason. Like, David Stearns came in and was like, all right, we're going to rebuild the farm system. We're not going to sign anybody to a long-term deal. You know, if we win, great, but, you know, we want to be competitive, but we just got to get things in order in my first year here. We got to, you know, it's a three-year plan. It's not... And this team is the one that's doing this.
Well, I will say,
it's amazing.
I will say that there are a number of guys that are on one-year deals that are prove-it deals that could have been traded at the trade deadline, but
right.
weren't.
Yep, absolutely.
And those are the guys that, you know, really are the backbone of your team. This is where you got to be really, really careful about signing somebody to some long-term massive contract, and then, you know, they don't make it. But that's for another time. That's not for today. What today is. Today is about celebrating what this team did yesterday, how they took care of the Phillies relatively. Nothing's easy, but they kind of went right through them, you know, and it was, they could have easily swept them, by the way. They could have easily swept them. And then, of course, you know, Edwin Diaz has got to take us to the
cliff.
Yeah,
I mean, volatile. I was just talking to Al and Jerry before the show started, and like, it's Carlos Mendoza's one flaw. If he's got one flaw, it's the fact that he looks at Edwin Diaz the wrong way. He has too much faith in this guy. Now, he got the job done, ultimately, but he just trusts the guy too much.
Well, when he is finding the strike zone and his ball is moving the way it moved last night,
right.
he's almost impossible to hit. Yeah. It's when he's walking guys, putting guys on base. You know, I mean, I'm happy he came through with the way he came through, because he needed that. He needed to regain his confidence, and he needed to, you know, shut him down, even though he put guys on him. Maybe he just pitches better with guys on. You know, he's not paying attention. Guys are stealing bases. I mean, it's amazing watching those first, like, 9 or 10 pitches.
Yeah, he's done not 9 out
they
of 11.
Were, there were a couple were close. He could have gotten a strike here or there, but he didn't.
You know, he is so emotionally volatile. You can actually, he wears it on his face. So when he walks these two guys, you could see the lack of confidence. He's looking up, you know, you could see it on his face. You know, then they come out, they talk to him. He throws a first pitch ball after that to Clemens, but he ends up striking out Clemens. And the second that he strikes out Clemens, you could see, like, the confidence, like, came out of the sky and went back into him. And his face was like, okay, now we're going to go. And then 2022, Edwin Diaz showed up. But it's like, he has to get off to that great start. He's got to, like, strike that first guy out. Because the second that things start to avalanche, it's bad. But they got to him. They talked to him. Francisco Lindor, arm around him. And they got him working. But, I mean, God, I was like, this son of a bitch cannot blow this game at this point.
Ooh,
you just
man.
Cannot blow this game at this point. And it was funny. I still follow Brody Van Wagenen on Instagram from all
yes.
those years ago when he was the general manager. He posted two things last night. One, Edwin Diaz coming into the game. And two, the highlight of Edwin Diaz striking out Schwarber. Just to let everybody know that he was the one who made that trade.
You know? Okay,
just
well,
to let everybody know, hey, I had a piece of this. I had all this David Stern, Steve Cohen talk. I don't want to hear it. I had a piece of this whole thing.
Yeah, where was he like 3 years ago?
Yeah, I didn't know where.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nowhere. Okay, that's right. Now, and then on the other side of things, then the Yankees.
Yeah.
I mean, Giancarlo Stanton can run. He can run.
Stole a base
last night.
Well, they weren't paying attention to him.
I know, but he actually looked like he could run. So I don't want to hear any more about we can't run anymore. I mean, and he hits obviously a bomb and saves their ass. And quite frankly, their bullpen has been money. Their bullpen has basically been money in this series. And it's kept them, you know, and kept the Royals at bay. And all I know is watching this team, like, the excitement's not there.
No,
and
it's
I don't
not.
Know. Maybe it's not there because of the freaking announcer.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Yankee fans that they got to listen to this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always the one who is, I've complained about broadcast too much lately because I never really complain about the broadcast, but there's a couple things that are just, they're too obvious that I had to mention. One was the Rich Eisen rooting for the Jets. You can't have a Jets fan call a Jets game on national TV. You just can't do that. And then what's going on here with Bob Costas?
This is 2 years in a row.
So I actually, you know, Met game's over and I'm watching the celebration and everything. And then when they cut from the field back to the post game, then I got my full attention on the Yankees. It was probably 3 minutes that I listened to him. And then I just put the volume all the way down. And I didn't hear another word that he said. I gave him 3 minutes. He doesn't shut the F up ever. And you want to talk about sucking the life out of the fan base, like the post said about Carlos Rodon. Bob Costas sucks the life out of every viewer. But that being said, just don't listen to him anymore. Put the volume down like I did. Watch the game. It's fine. It's easy. It's actually not that bad.
I feel bad for Ronnie Darling, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Did you hear, like, on the Volpe play?
Yeah, he's like, that's a catch. He's like, you caught it.
No, but he thought it was a single.
I know, but Darling, the way he was like, he's like, yeah, I mean.
Oh, you have Darling had to tell him. It was like, yeah, he didn't see it. I don't know. I don't know what happened on that particular play, but there's no level of excitement. Like, that doesn't go anywhere. Like, on the home run for Giancarlo, it's like, come on.
So on the bar, I don't know. They probably tweeted out a million things, Al, but if you could find in the next couple minutes when we're talking about the Yankees, the Barstool Sports account tweeted out a highlight that said Bob Costas with an absolutely electric in caps call. So if you could find that, and it's just obviously it's not an electric call, and
yeah,
we'll play it.
Yeah, I know.
But anyway, all right, so they win the game. The bullpen is great. Clark Schmidt does what he has to do. He's a guy who's not going to shut you down and throw a complete game shutout. So now you're one win away. But yeah, this team has proven that they can't go far in the playoffs if Giancarlo Stanton is the only guy hitting. Because we've seen this before. We've seen this movie before, where he's been the only one hitting, no one else hits, and it's great. He's got these spectacular postseason numbers, and it's postseason Giancarlo and everything else. But they end up losing because no one else is helping.
Well, and Aaron Judge right now is batting, I think, 091 or something.
He got screwed on that check swing. Should have been a walk, but he's still just not. He's just not producing. He's not doing anything. All right, let's listen to this this Costas call from last night.
Almost imperceptible. Stanton hits one well in the gap at left center field, and that's going to get down. Soto heading for third and being waved home. The peg to the plate is late. It's an RBI double for Stanton, who pumps his fist as he arrives at second base, and the Yanks jump in front, 1-0. Almost imperceptible.
Almost imperceptible. Oh, boy.
I mean, that's a regular season call.
You know what that is? That's swarmy.
That's a regular season call.
Yeah, but it's got a swarmy feel to it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the guy at the cocktail party that you never wanted to go to that you can't get away from. That's what he is. He's just, you can't get away from him. And he's just talking.
Super Z!
And he's talking about himself, and he's talking about these things, and you're looking at your friends, and you're like, can you get me out of this? And then they're just laughing at you because they know you're stuck in this vortex, referencing things from decades ago that you don't care about, with a glass of Cab Sav in his hand.
Or Chablis.
Right. Jesus. Sniffing it.
Ugh, it is unlistenable.
Oh, it's so bad. But all right, you don't want to get distracted. Yankee fans are probably, they're so fed up with this.
I feel bad for them. I really do. I mean, it is. And that game was a good game last night. That was a tight game last night. And I just wonder, like, what Juan Soto's doing in right field.
Yeah, there's still a ton of issues there. And obviously the timing of the jump is what you're referring to there. That's an outlier for him. I mean, the guy knows what he's doing. I that was just bizarre. Yeah, there's just a lot of weirdness still around this team.
And we had a stolen base, a bunt in this game.
It just doesn't.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, real baseball stuff happening in this game.
It just didn't. And then coming off the Met game, it just felt like a dud. But it did.
They won the game.
I know, but it just didn't have the same energy. Whether you're a Met fan or a Yankee fan, it didn't have the same energy. I'm sorry. And they won the game great. But it's how they win this next one it's how they win this next one that's going to determine if I think that they can continue to to get through the American League postseason because they have to hang like 8 runs on somebody at some point, and Aaron Judge has to be a part of it. They can't win a World Series without Judge and Soto being those guys. That's it. It's as easy as that. The rest of the team you feel okay about. But if those guys aren't performing, you got no shot. That's the nucleus of your team. That is your engine. That is everything to you. So I just, they can win a game 3-2 here and fine. You feel okay for a little bit, but
there's always a, there's always the next day. And as long as they keep winning, there always will be the next day, the next opportunity. It's when they lose and they get knocked out, if which I don't believe they will, because I do believe they still are making the World Series. I mean, this is going to be a reoccurring theme, and it's going to be asked of Aaron Judge after every game, going into every game, coming out of every game. It's just going to be round and round and round and round we go with him and his lack of production. That's all there is to it. And but the good news is that they won, so they have another chance. He has another game to be able to be the reason why they won the game, why maybe they clinched the series.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco in here. He's got all the celebrations, all the highlights from last night. What's up, Jerry?
Morning brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. There's really two highlights to play from last night for the most part. We'll give you some different versions throughout the course of the morning. But first, the biggest of the big.
Now the pitch. Swing and a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's
gone. Oh, my
God. Francisco Lindor, he may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam.
Oh, my God.
Yes, that's exactly right. Made it 4-1, and 4-1 was the final. As the
salami.
Mets take care of the Phillies. They win the series in 4 games as they knock him out at Citi Field. Lindor, the sixth inning grand slam off of Carlos Estevez, however you pronounce his name.
How about 23 runs in 4 games for the Mets?
Hey. Yeah. I thought last night should have been about 17 runs.
Yes, yes, exactly, yes.
You're not wrong. David Peterson, the win in relief, he threw 2 1/3. And yes, Edwin Diaz, after he walked the first 2 batters, did lock down the save.
Diaz on the first base side of the rubber. Rests the glove on his left thigh. Looks into Alvarez. Diaz still staring in. Come set. The 1-2 pitch. Swung on and missed strike 3. Put it in the books. And to the New York Mets, California, here we come.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
That was a 101-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yep, pretty good. They will go to either San Diego or Los Angeles for the NLCS. First, with the post-game stuff, here was Francisco Lindor on FS1, the approach he had in that grand slam at bat.
Well, he's trying to get a good pitch to hit and bring one run hit in. I wasn't trying to be the guy. I was just trying to continue the momentum that the guys had.
You're the guy, all right. You're the absolute guy. And here was Pete Alonso on SNY saying another moment for that guy.
He just stayed within himself, took a nice, short, compact swing. And, man, oh, man, he connected with that ball. It was just absolutely exploded off his barrel. Just a beautiful swing, right man, right spot, right time. What a swing. I mean, for He such deserved. So happy for him. But, man, I mean, wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Biggest biggest home run in Citi Field history right there.
Pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. No question. Here was Diaz on SNY, thrilled to lock down the save.
Miss a lot because on Sunday, I think Monday, I didn't have my best off in Philly. We got the loss, and I stick with that in my mind. You know, I got the chance to come back again and finish them up, and that's what I did today.
It's just so dicey, though. It's just so dicey.
Yeah,
it would be, I mean, you know, they weren't hitting him. It was just that he was putting
get
them
their strikes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He had a hard time finding a plate. But once he found a plate, man, then all of a sudden they couldn't hit him.
Yeah, when Wainwright goes, man, you got to take two here, right? And Brzezinski goes, take three.
It's true. Here was their manager, Carlos Mendoza. Great win at home.
I'm proud of the fan base. I said it on my speech there. Mets Nation, this is for you. And if we believe, they need to continue to believe because this is real.
Very real. It's also real for the Phillies. Here's Bryce Harper. He knows he underperformed.
I wish I could have done more, obviously, on a personal level. Wish I could have had that last at bat, obviously, in that situation. Would have been a lot of fun, but just wasn't able to get it.
No, he was not. And then I'll give you the one that made the headlines. This is Nick Castellanos. So there's three clips from him. The first is like 15 seconds of him really giving the Mets a lot of credit and kind of... you know, talking about how well they played. This is the one that's made the headlines, though.
Is there a lot of things that we could have done better? Yes. Is there things that we could have done different? Yes. Do I think that they are a better team than us? No. But this series, they were.
Well, was he interviewing himself?
Yeah, I know. He's doing the Phil Sims. He was totally respectful to the team.
Too.
Every single member of the Phillies was respectful to the team. I actually earned respect for them, more respect than I had for them. So,
how about their fans? Any absolutely not.
Respectful
or
no? No way, no how. They are still the Pits.
But like
skinny vegan hipster.
Yep. And it was great to see that video of Loogie and Evan Roberts jumping up and down and hugging with Spike Eskin leaning against a wall with his radio partner Ike Reese as they were just totally disgusted watching Francisco Lindor around the bases. I mean,
made it that much more enjoyable.
Oh, my God.
For us, totally.
I could not.
After he's trying to troll Met fans and us here.
Oh, it's great.
Somebody we worked with for quite some time created... you know, what I would say a very memorable run as our program director.
Indeed.
And then completely, I mean, just...
Turns his back on
everybody and just shivs everybody over here.
You know, he trolled himself at the end of the day.
You know, I hate when people do that. You know, you said what you said. We heard it.
Yeah, now suck on it.
Yeah, that's right. Suck on it is right. Because, you know, you can't take it back. It's out there.
Oh, it will live forever.
Oh, yes.
We'll live again at 7:30 with some other things I have for you, too. You mentioned the fans. I was going to play this next hour, but since you mentioned the fan base, this is a female fan, Courtney O'Neill, on WFMZ-TV.
So there's a couple low points in my life. My dog passing away and them getting a grand slam. The grand slam took the cake.
That's kind of a bit much. So, anyhow, Mets will face the winner of the Padres and Dodgers. L.A. did even things up with an 8-0 win last night. Betts, Lux, and Will Smith all hit home runs. Game 5 will be Friday night in Los Angeles. I'll have sound from that game coming up next hour as well. Now we get to the Yankees and the Royals and Giancarlo.
Here's the 3-1 to Giancarlo. Swung on, a high fly to left. Back goes Melendez on the track. He's at the wall, and she's gone. A Stantonian home run. He drove a high fly deep left into the Yankee bullpen to give the Yankees a 3-2 lead. Giancarlo. No si può scopparlo.
You can sit on my face.
Oh, yeah. Definitely one of those nights.
Doing a lot more soon.
Drop those droves. Let's do it.
He was 3-for-5. Also had an RBI double. Also had a stolen base. What the hell is going on? Yankees beat the Royals 3-2. You also had, I know you played the one, you played his double with Costas.
Yeah.
This is also the one. There's a few that are out there. This is also the one that Boomer referenced, this play.
Line drive, base hit to center field.
It was smothered out there. I don't know if it was caught.
It was caught.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Bob. That's a rough one.
What are we doing here? You got that pink eye from Sochi again?
That's the one Al did the song. Yeah. Right? That's right. I forgot. And then I'll give you this one, too, just since we're on it. So you just heard the John home run. He kind of called it, let the play happen, then got. This would be the opposite of that with Aaron Judge up, where Bob kind of jumped the gun a little bit.
Here's a drive to deep left field. Does it have enough? It does not.
Oh, damn. Caught right before the
warning. I didn't think it was possible to have a play-by-play guy have worse eyes than John Sterling. but Bob Costas has been able to do that.
It is a struggle. Definitely a struggle. Here was Stanton on TBS playoff. How about this? So he has hit home runs in the postseason every 9.4 at-bats. The only one better than him in the postseason is a guy by the name of Babe Ruth, every 8.6.
Do we really believe that?
I mean, I don't know what I believe.
Yeah, you don't believe those but stats. I just can't believe those stats.
We always refer back to these great Yankee players of yesteryear when comparing today's Yankees. You know?
Yep. All the time. Long history.
It never ends.
Rich history.
It never ends.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all right, so then take Ruth out of it. Then he hits the most home runs on a frequent basis than anybody else, every 9.6 at-bats. So how is he doing it?
It's the biggest moments. I mean, you got to be ready for it. You got to want it. You know, you're not always going to be successful, but you can't shy from the big moment.
He is not doing that.
Plus, he actually stole a base, Jerry.
That's what I said.
He can run.
Yeah. I think he stunned Salvador Perez. Like,
and he was staring right at Aaron Judge when he was saying that. He's like, can't shy away from the big moments. Got to be ready for them. And you got to do it in the biggest moments.
Not only did he steal the base, it wasn't close.
He actually slid, too.
They never anticipated him moving.
How about the fact that he slid?
Here was Soto. What a night for Stanton.
It's great. It's great to see a guy like that. You know, we all have trust in him and his swings and everything. It's just really cool to see him coming through.
Tommy Canley, the win. Luke Weaver, the five-out save. You all have game four tonight in Kansas City. Garrett Cole, Michael Wacha making the starts.
All right, now this is Garrett Cole moment. Tonight's Garrett Cole's moment. And G was telling me that Michael Wacha, for some reason, when you said owns Aaron
Judge.
And
he did in game one here, too. He, for whatever reason, cannot hit Michael Wacha, of all people. And that's including the regular season where Aaron Judge actually hits the baseball. So, yeah, this is another one of these. Maybe this is the one where he breaks out and it's unlikely or whatever, but they've proven before.
You know, he needs to hit two bombs. They need to win 7-1, and he needs to be the guy that, you know, knocked in five runs.
Right. I mean, if that's the case, then you're right. Write their ticket to the World Series because that'll unlock him and it'll be great. But they've had these postseasons before where Giancarlo Stanton's the only one producing, and they don't get very far.
First pitch on the fan, 8:08 tonight. The Tigers blank the Guardians for the second straight game, 3-0. Game four tonight in Detroit. By the way, both Detroit and the Dodgers, those bullpen games, the Dodgers used 8 pitchers last night to shut out the Padres.
The Padres used 7, by the way.
What's that, did they?
Yeah, but that...
well, it's because Cease only went
terrible,
4. Yeah, exactly. Just don't have a lot of time. Let me give you the one from Aaron Rodgers with McAfee yesterday, addressing people that had something... that said he had something to do with the Rob Saleh firing?
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it, and that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have, which I don't.
Okay, so you have
that is bull crap central.
We will have more from Rodgers throughout the course of the morning, as you can imagine. Jets home for the Bills on Monday night. Giants Bengals on Sunday night. Kayvon Thibodeau out because of wrist surgery. He called him week to week. Don't know how long that will go on for. You've got week 5 opening tonight with the 49ers and the Seahawks in Seattle. And the Rangers did open the season with a resounding 6-0 win over the Penguins as your guy Igor Shesterkin, the shutout, 29 saves on the night. Devils Maple Leafs tonight. Islanders home for Utah.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Mets advance to the NLCS for the first time since 2015, and they do it at home at Citi Field. I remember being at a clinching NLDS back at Shea Stadium in 2000 when they beat the Giants. It was the Bobby Jones
one-hitter game and celebrating in the stadium all hours of the night all those years ago, as many Met fans were doing last night and outside of the stadium. It was just a scene to behold when you can clinch a series at home. And I did put, I posted two things on X yesterday after the game, or last night after the game. One was the video of me talking about how they're not going back to Philadelphia, because I just wanted to take my victory lap on that with all the people that were calling me a mush and they were going to lose because I said that. So I wanted to prove the fact that that has nothing to do with anything. The other thing I posted was a picture of Spike Eskin with a... like a peace sign. He was like, had like a peace sign. Someone took this picture of Spike and he was like waving at somebody with a peace sign. I said, you know, bye-bye to Spike. And, you know, the comments, people are just really, you know, really mean to Spike, as we read some of them the other day.
I mean, they're not only mean to Spike, they're mean to Jeff Hoffman.
Yeah.
They're mean to Bryce Harper.
Yeah, but it's different. You know, it's different. Like, it's the Mets fans that were, you know, went after Spike. Like this one guy wrote, he said, I thought they cured AIDS. And I was like, man, that's just not nice.
That is not nice.
You know, just really mean.
Don't you have a picture of him in his Wendy's outfit?
I don't. I'd have to find that.
Somewhere, Tom Izzo has that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's the one that we need to use. Like, see ya.
Yep.
See ya, Wendy. We love Wendy's. But we love Wendy's. See this Wendy. Right. See you, Wendy.
Exactly. It just makes it even sweeter beating the Philadelphia Phillies. Let's go to Rich in Manalapan. What's going on, Rich?
Hey, guys. I have 2 points about the Mets that I want to make. One, what a transformation from Lindor with the whole Javi Baez thumbs down. Now he's one of the most beloved Mets like I can think of in recent memory. And two... I know a different show, but Evan and a lot of Mets fans are like Jose Iglesias when you know that was a big free agent signing, and like we kind of, you know, put our noses to that, and now like, can you imagine if we didn't have him? You know, it's just amazing. No pun intended. You know, so
yeah. I mean, listen, Rich, you're right, and on both of those points, and you know, at those times, neither one of those things felt like positives, meaning the Lindor trade and the contract with the Javi Baez thumbs down. I mean, he got off to such a bad start here in New York, Lindor, and now he's like the perfect player. He's the perfect player and the perfect leader. Well, yeah, right.
I mean, not only is he performing, he's performing in the biggest spots. And if you follow the Mets this year, and I thought that FS1 did a good job last night, kind of chronicling what the Mets have been through this year.
Yeah.
And team meetings and talking about team meetings and all the different things that were going on. And then, of course, the unfortunate back injury towards the end of the year and how they had a team meeting about that. I mean, so, you know, winning cures a lot of ills. And it makes, you know, a workplace extremely happy to show up and go to work and want to be a part of it. And everybody wants to have like a little bit of their skin in the game. And when you look at certain guys, whether it be Walker or Winker or other guys that have been brought in here to fill in, I mean, you know, it's a testament to David Stearns to get those guys here. And, you know, the bullpen has been, you know, that's been a revolving door all season long. I think probably the biggest surprise for me, well, not surprise, but the two biggest things that I think catapulted this team to where it is today is the starting pitching, even though they lost Kodai Senga, and who knows what Kodai Senga is now going to be in this next series. And number two is the ascension of one Mark Vientos when he finally came up here.
Yeah, I mean, there's the thing that's great about this is you could have 15 answers. I mean, the reason why this team is so good is because of one thing after another, after another, after another. I mean, you just sat there and gave four really great reasons why this team is good, and I could add another four on top of it. I mean, everything is coming together, and it's coming together at the perfect time. And they're going to have a little bit of an extended time off here for them, which is going to be, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They'll play Sunday night either out in San Diego or L.A. I don't know if they just fly out to Southern California tomorrow without even knowing who the opponent is, or they wait until Saturday. I'm not sure. But it's just, this will be the first time that they have like 3 days off, and
I know.
The entire year.
I mean, think about this. Think about some of the key hits that Starling Marte has had. Think about some of the home runs that Brandon Nimmo has had. The key home runs that Pete Alonso has had. Obviously, the hits that Francisco Lindor and the walks that they've taken. The great thing about this, unlike really the Yankees on the offensive side of it, everybody is participating, and that's why 23 runs in four games, everybody's got a little bit of skin in the game.
And that's how you win in the postseason, is that consistent offense throughout the lineup is a huge part of it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.